Title: Groove from Alternating Brake Sources Advanced. Alright, let's build a proper rolling drum and bass groove in Ableton Live, but with an advanced twist. Instead of just layering breaks and hoping it sounds busy, we're going to alternate between multiple brake sources on purpose. Think of it like switching which drummer limb is coming from which record, hit by hit, or bar by bar. The goal is a loop that feels human and moving, like jungle DNA, but with modern control and punch. And the big win here is that it won't sound like a copy-pasted two-bar loop. It'll evolve while still feeling like one performer. Here's what we're building: a 2-to-8-bar drum loop where break A is the timing leader, break B adds texture, ghosts, and hat grain, and break C is optional for fills and weird accents. In the end, you'll have one master drum rack that contains slices from multiple breaks, plus a groove approach that lets you switch feel without losing tightness. Step 0. Session setup. Set your tempo to around 172 to 175 BPM. Then go into Preferences, Record Warp Launch, and consider turning Auto Warp Long Samples off. It's not mandatory, but it stops Ableton from making weird decisions before you even touch the clip. Now create a few tracks, three audio tracks named Break A, Break B, and Break C, one MIDI track called Break Rack, and an audio track called Drum Bus. Later you'll group things, but for now keep it clean. Step 1. Pick breaks with jobs, not just vibes. This matters. Don't pick three breaks that all have huge snares and the same hat pattern. You want complementary roles. Break A should be the timing leader. It's the one with the most dependable backbeat and a solid cadence. Break B should be your texture and ghost break. Maybe it's crunchier, roomier, has more shuffle, or just a different hat sound. Break C, if you use it, is for fills, toms, rides, sparse funk hits, those, what was that? Accents. And here's a coach rule before we go further. Decide what alternates are allowed to change. Pick one or two elements that must stay consistent. Usually that's the main snare, often the kick too. This prevents what I call slice roulette, where the beat sounds like you're randomly auditioning samples instead of playing a groove. Step 2. Warp each break properly. This is where pros win. Open Break A's clip. Go into Clip View, and set the warp mode to beats. Preserve transients, and make sure transient loop mode is off. Then adjust the transient envelope. Start around 80 to 90. If it gets too clicky and spitty, drop it down into the 60 to 75 range. Now warp markers, minimal. Set 1.1.1 on the true downbeat, then only correct obvious drift. Do not grid perfect the whole thing unless you want to delete the pocket. The whole point of this lesson is feel. Advanced move. If break B feels draggy or laid back, don't fix it automatically. That behind feel can become your secret sauce, but only when you use it on the right elements, like ghosts or shuffles. Step 3. Slice each break to drum rack, but keep them separate at first. On break A, right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Slice by Transient, built-in preset slice to drum rack. Do the same for break B and break C. Rename those racks clearly. Rack Lead, Rack B Ghost, Rack C Fill. Just naming them correctly helps your brain make good decisions fast. Step 4. Build a single master break rack that contains slices from all sources. On your break rack MIDI track, load an empty drum rack. Now go into Rack A and drag the key slices into your master rack, your kick, your hero snare, some core hats, and maybe one or two signature ghost hits you really like. Then from Rack B, drag an alternate hats, ghost snares, little perks, anything that brings grit and motion. Put them near the equivalent of sounds so they're easy to alternate without hunting. From Rack C, drag fill hits into another area, like a higher octave. A quick organization map, just as a mental model. Put kick A on C1, kick alternate on C-sharp 1. Put snare A on D1, and snare alternate or rim on D-sharp 1. Then a row of hats and ghosts where you can literally go A, B, A, B in your sequencing. And fills up around C2 to E2. Why this matters is huge. You're no longer editing audio like a collage. You're composing alternation like drum programming. You can play the break switching. Now step 5. Extract grooves from each break and apply them selectively. This is where people usually use groove pool in the most basic way. One groove on everything. We're not doing that. Take break A's audio clip and extract groove, or drag it into the groove pool. Do the same for break B. You'll end up with two groove templates, one from each break. Now program a simple 2-bar MIDI pattern on your master rack. Keep it clean. Stable kick, stable hero snare, and then some hats and ghosts that you're going to alternate. Here's the trick. Duplicate the MIDI clips so you have two versions. Name one clip 1 a feel, and the other clip 2 b feel. Apply groove A to clip 1 and groove B to clip 2. For DNB, keep the groove amounts controlled. Start with timing at 20 to 40%, velocity around 10 to 25, random 0 to 10, bass at 1/16. And a teacher note here, treat groove pool velocity like stick height, not loudness. If the groove template creates nice velocity variation, don't instantly squash it with a compressor. Instead, adjust the pad volume or chain gain so your loudest hits sit right, and let the velocity make the groove speak. Once it feels good, commit the groove. Not immediately, but once you like it. It locks timing, keeps CPU stable, and makes the pattern predictable when you start arranging. Core concept check-in. Alternation can mean alternating samples, alternating groove templates bar to bar, or both. Usually the best results are both, but controlled. Step 6. Make alternation patterns that actually roll. Let's talk three approaches that consistently work in drum and bass. Approach A. Ghost note swap. Most musical. Keep the main kick and the hero snare consistent, usually from break A. Then swap ghost snares and hats between A and B every 8th note or 16th note, so your skeleton stays steady, but the skin changes. Approach B. Bar to bar lead break. Use the same MIDI rhythm, but in bar 1 you mostly trigger A slices, and in bar 2 you mostly trigger B slices. That creates the illusion of the same drummer changing feel, without the beat losing identity. Approach C. Call and response fills with break C. Only use break C at the end of phrases. Bar 4, drop one or two fill hits. Bar 8, bigger fill moment. In DNB, fills tend to land best in the last half bar or last quarter bar, because they don't interrupt the forward motion. Now, coach note, timing contrast is a deliberate tool. If one break feels ahead of the grid and one feels behind, don't average them into boring sameness. Assign them roles. Ahead feel becomes urgency, hats, tiny perks. Behind feel becomes weight, ghosts, shuffles. That's literally how a drummer creates push and pull with different limbs. Step 7. Tighten the punch without killing the groove. Drum bus chain. Group your break rack into a drum bus track. On that drum bus, start with EQ8. High pass around 30 Hz to remove rumble. If it gets boxy, dip 250 to 400 Hz by 2 to 4 dB. If hats need presence, a gentle lift around 3 to 6 kHz. Then drum bus. Drive around 5 to 15%. Crunch very carefully, and push transient somewhere in the plus 5 to plus 20 zone depending on how snappy you want it. Boom usually stays off in DNB because the sub is typically handled by your bass, not the break. Then glue compressor, attack around 3 ms so transient still hit, release auto or 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, ratio 2:1, and aim for just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. If you're crushing harder than that, you're probably flattening the very movement you work to build. Optional. Saturator in analog clip mode. 1 to 4 dB drive. Soft clip on. For darker weight. And if you want big roller energy, set up a parallel return called drum smash. Overdrive into drum bus into EQ8. And high pass the return around 120 Hz so you're not distorting low end. Then send your drums quietly, like minus 15 to minus 8 dB. You want controlled aggression, not an explosion. Step 8. Micro-editing so alternation feels intentional. This is where the loop stops sounding like two breaks stitched together and starts sounding like one kit. In your master rack, check hat slices from break B. If they have longer tails or more room, shorten the decay in Simpler's amp envelope by about 10 to 30%. That alone can make alternating hats feel like they belong to the same session. For ghost hits, reduce velocity by about 10 to 25 compared to main hits. Ghosts should be felt more than heard. If you want that late hat roll, split hats into their own chain or track and use track delay. Push hats late by 5 to 15 milliseconds. Ghost snares can go late by 3 to 10 milliseconds for funk drag. Important, don't nudge everything. Nudge the alternation hits so they feel like a different limb entering the groove. Now a quick hygiene audit, because this fixes a ton of why does this feel wrong problems. Check for tiny leading silence before transients, inconsistent slay start markers, and mismatched tail lengths. In Simpler, nudge start forward slightly if there's pre-transient fluff, and use a touch of faden to remove clicks without softening impact. Also do a mono test. Put utility on your drum bus and hit mono. If the groove thins out or the snare loses body, you've got phase or tail conflicts between alternates. Fix it by committing to one hero snare and using alternates only for ghosts, shortening decays, or high-passing room-heavy alternates. Now let's cover common mistakes so you can avoid them. First, Overwarping. Too many warp markers kills pocket. Second, alternating main snares randomly. Tone and phase changes make it sound accidental. Pick the hero snare and protect it. Third, using groove pull too strong. Timing at 80 or 100% often turns DNB into sloppy hip-hop. Stay around 20 to 40%. Fourth, no frequency management. Breaks get harsh fast in the top end and muddy in the low mids. And fifth, overcompressing the bus. If your unprocessed bounce grooves harder than your processed one, your chain is doing violence to the feel. A few pro tips for darker, heavier DNB. Try pitching break B down by 1 to 3 semitones for grit and weight, but then high pass it so the low end doesn't fight your bass. You can add subtle redux on a parallel return for industrial texture. Subtle. If you hear it obviously, it's probably too much. If you want heavier snares without replacing them, duplicate the snare chain. Band pass at roughly 180 Hz to 3 kHz, saturate it, and blend it under. If you're in Live 12 Suite and you have roar, use it gently on a parallel chain for moving distortion without wrecking transients. And for more perceived speed, sidechain the hats and ghost bus lightly to the kick with glue compressor. It creates tiny pockets of space that make the roll feel faster, even though the BPM didn't change. Let's do a mini practice exercise, 15 minutes. Pick two breaks only, and B. Slice both and build the master rack. Program a two-bar pattern. Main snare stays from A. Every offbeat hat alternates then B, and add three ghost hits from B right before snares. Extract groove from both breaks. Apply groove A to bar 1 and groove B to bar 2 with timing at 30%, velocity 15. Bounce a 4-bar loop and ask yourself, does bar 2 feel like a different drummer but still the same track? If it feels messy, reduce groove timing or simplify the alternation. Before we wrap, here's a powerful advanced variation you can try once the basic version works. Do a limb split. Assign one break mostly to hats and rides, the other mostly to snare and ghosts, and keep kick dedicated to the tightest kick slice you've got. This audio version is shortened for playback.